This is Topcast, a podcast made for all you participants of International Week.
Welcome to Topcasts. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the private lives of your favorite top desk teammates and see what they are like away from their desk. I'm Pep Rosenfeld from the Boom Chicago Comedy Theater, and with me is Ben Scavuzzo. Ben, how are you doing today?
Very well. Great to be here, Pep.
It is. It's great to. The here implies that we're together, but of course we're an ocean apart right now. This is a real COVID-friendly interview right now.
Yes. Yeah. It's great to be present with you.
It's great to be in the same digital space as you too, man. Now, Ben, I'm going to start a 20-minute clock. I've got 10 questions. I'm going to get them done in 20 minutes. So if I rush you, that's why. It's not a lack of interest or rudeness on my part. It's the clock. All right, I hope we're cool on that.
Brace yourself. I talk too much.
Brace yourself. I don't really listen. Now, Ben, you are a consultant for Top Desk Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, I don't want to hear anything about that today. This is about the man behind the desk. So my first question is going to jump right into that, which is, what is your biggest responsibility outside of work?
Well, I have a newborn daughter, so that trumps everything now.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
How new?
She was born on June 28th, so I think we're seven weeks in a day now.
Oh, I mean, unless nobody listens to this for a month, and then it's way longer. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, boy, that's fantastic. Congratulations. What's her name?
Her name is Maya. She's a little sweetheart. It's just been so nice. This is our first baby.
Oh wow! Congratulations. I've got twin boys. And all I wanted was one girl. So I really am not exaggerating when I say I wish I was you right now. what's been the biggest surprise?
Oh wow!
I mean, about having a daughter.
Yeah, I guess it's how I've changed. I've just subtle things about myself and. Really subtle. Well, I guess the most obvious thing now is I'm a morning person. That was never true before.
Morning takes on a new definition too. Oh, morning starts at 4 a.m. when you click play on Dora the Explorer.
Totally. I'm usually like up at sunrise now, which is unusual for me to say the least. And then, of course, all the emotions that come with it and just how much freer, I guess, my emotions flow now that I've got a baby around. It's just, no need to hold back, I guess.
Well, she certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this emotional side. Were you less emotional, but now it's all just coming out?
No, more like silly stuff. Like I'll watch a movie and get choked up at the movie. Whereas it used to be like, I could make it through a Disney scene.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Ben, next time they let us on airplanes, don't watch a movie on an airplane because the natural, you know, over-emotional feeling one has on an airplane plus newborn parent, it's nuts.
Noted. I will stick to comedies only.
Oh, even those. Oh my God. A pie in the face. And you're like, oh my God, look at the pie, my daughter. Ben. So anything else you want to tell me about this new responsibility? I don't want to rush away because this is a miracle and it's a life changer.
Just that it's totally awesome. And you know, I guess the other funny thing is people ask, oh, do you miss your old hobbies? Do you miss your old friends, whatever? And it's more just like, I don't miss them. They're just in the background now. And I'm just so excited with my new thing. So it's a really neat thing how your frame of reference changes.
Hopefully though, none of your friends are listening and find out that they've just been relegated to now they're in the background.
Well, they're allowed to visit if they bring food.
You're 32 years old and yeah. I'm curious if we can go back in time mentally to 18-year-old Ben and find out what were your dreams and also what were your biggest fears back when you were 18, besides the obvious fear every 18-year-old has, having a child.
I guess, so when I was 18, I mean, I have to admit that I was mostly just interested in partying and getting out of my parents' house. And then I was off to university. And probably my biggest fear was to just get stuck in a job and not do anything with my life. That was what I was terrified of at 18.
And I mean, did you?
No, actually, I got to give it to myself there. I took a lot of risks in my earlier career. So when I originally got out of school, I didn't want to take a 9-to-5 job because I was so afraid of that. So I started working at a restaurant and ended up managing restaurants for a while, which is the same 9-to-5 grind in a different time.
Yeah, it's a 5-to-9 grind, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, of course, a great experience and learned a lot and developed myself a lot that way. And then, of course, pretty quickly realized I didn't want to stay in the restaurants forever. And then from there, so I jumped ship and went to go work on a farm because I was passionate about organic food and sustainabilities. So I went and did that. And then shortly after that, I bumped into some people starting a food box startup. And then with my little bit of restaurant management experience and my farming experience, I was able to go try that.
Your life story is making me hungry, Ben.
Yeah. Later on, I ended up managing a organic mushroom farm startup as well through the same sort of network of people. And so, yeah, I've got to go on quite a few different adventures, but things I'm passionate about and tried to build sustainable systems and stuff. And then after that, when I came to Topdesk, actually, I had learned a lot about automating farm work and automating stuff. And I was interested in trying to, you know, take my management experience, take my business experience and transition into tech because I knew I could always circle all of that back down together. And I can't believe how magically I landed at Topdesk. And you're probably already aware what a nice place it is to work. But sorry, I'll stop talking about being a consultant, but I did luck out.
Well, I mean, you got to kiss the hand that feeds you his butt every once in a while. Yeah, I super understand that. But it is an amazing journey, and I love that you started at the table and then went to the farm. We're always used to hear about food should go farm to table, and you went table to farm, which I think is great. Let me ask you this then for my next question. What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned, you know, since you were 18?
Just to go for it. I think when I was younger,
that's a great lesson, by the way.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, I thought you had to have experience or you had to know what you were doing. And now that I've worked so many places, almost everywhere I've worked, we really don't know what we're doing, right? We're really making it up as we go along. Of course, you know, you have your habits and you have your systems and you have what worked before, but you know, it's 2020, everything changes every day. And you know, that was going to happen no matter what. So, ride with it, I guess.
I love a guy that started with the fear of getting stuck in one thing and then did the 100% opposite of that. And now you just know that go for it is the answer. That's a great one. I'm going to move forward then. Do you follow the news? And if so, how? Are you like a social media guy or how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I jump all over the place. Of course, my phone feeds me news by default. I read a lot of news off of Twitter links, which are hit and miss, as you can imagine.
It depends on who you follow. I think you can curate your Twitter feed pretty well if you're trying.
I have not accomplished that successfully.
I do my best. I mean, after all, I'm, you know, at Pep Rosenfeld. Oh, did that just come out? But no. So,
oh.
No. But
very good. Now I know I can get some good data.
but so I'm a Twitter fan myself. But I find it as the more I get into Twitter, the more I kind of don't have time for Instagram. What about you? Are you an Instagram man as well?
Yeah, I never was able to get into Instagram simply because I don't take enough pictures. So yeah, I'm more like, yeah, most of the people I follow on Twitter, I'm just trying to get links and trying to get info and stay out of, you know, the crossfire of the chaos of Twitter, as you know it goes.
Chaos is a great word for like vicious slander.
Yeah, exactly. So I do end up following a lot on Twitter, and then of course I'll just pop into all different kinds of news sites as I bump into them and as I see stories going. But I tend to follow kind of sprints with my news. So if something's really interesting, I'll read a lot about that for a little bit. But I typically don't do just the day-to-day daily news, mostly because I find it boring.
So while other people are binge watching, you know, Tiger King on Netflix, you're binge newsing when a story strikes your fancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Exactly. Excellent. Well, let me ask you this, and I'm asking you this as if I don't already know the answer. This is the one question I know your answer before you're going to give it to me because we asked earlier. But is there one news event from recent history that you'll never forget that really made an impression on you?
So the thing that struck me that made me think like, whoa, this is happening fast, is when I first saw, and it was on Twitter, a video of a person test flying their jetpack.
All right. Now, before you go on, we prepared a sound bite. So let me just play the sound bite based on your answer.
I've always wanted to fly, you know, myself. So I got into skydiving to do that. That's a little dangerous, I thought. So, hey, let's take up something safe like jetpack flying. I mean, the jetpack it's science fiction to a lot of people, but it's true. It's here. It's sitting right there.
And is that how you felt when you first saw a jetpack?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, that thing looks stable and it looks fast and that person looks like they could go anywhere they want to go. And it didn't even look that heavy. And I thought, oh man, they're like, this is just the first model. And the one I had seen, it was like somebody had built it themselves. It wasn't even like the super expensive elite, you know, military model. It was like a guy had made his Iron Man suit. And I just thought, like, wow, you know, that's where our tech is at now, that like a guy in
some
his garage.
Some dude can make a jetpack.
Exactly. And then, you know, of course I went on a news binge and started looking at all the different jetpack models. And it turns out there's like a Segway type jetpack and like a, you know, the old fashioned type jetpack off your back. And then the Iron Man ones and water ones. And like, yeah, there's this whole wave of jetpacks coming our way.
Man, I really want to cut to the end of the story where you buy a jetpack and have one and you're on it right now.
Just go for it, Pep. That's the answer.
That's pretty good. Can I just point out that dude in our sound clip, he said, I always wanted to fly, so I took up skydiving. And I just love that a guy who wants to fly first had to learn how to fall.
Yeah, fall out of the sky.
Exactly. All right. Now, this is serious. This is a serious question coming up now, so put your serious voice on. But it's about COVID-19 because it's the news story that I think has dominated the world, you know, rightly so, for the past couple of months. And I'm curious how it affected your life. It's affected us all. How's it affected you the most?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a whirl. I have to say, though, that for us, it was a mixed bag, because on the one hand, of course, you know, it's difficult and, you know, you're worried about the people you care about and all that stuff. But on the other hand, we were, I think, 8 months pregnant when the lockdown started. So it was really nice to be at home together for that time and to be able to, you know, take care of each other and eat well and, yeah, and just be at home together. And then we were home alone with our baby also for the first 2.5 months of being with the baby. So it was a really nice special time also to be home alone together with my family. And I feel like I was really lucky that way. Also, I have to admit that my commute here in Toronto, for all you people who have come to Toronto, you know that the traffic here is quite exceptional. And my commute is about 1 hour and 15 minutes on a normal day. And now my commute is 30 seconds if I brush my teeth. So it's a totally different game.
I think your dentist would recommend you take 90 seconds.
Yeah. That's the nighttime brush.
Of course it is. Well, that actually sounds pretty good. It's weird to hear, like, you almost feel guilty when you say that it's had an upside for you, but it's nice that when you can say, look, there's this awful thing happening, but you know what? I get to stay home with my daughter and that's not so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, a couple of hidden blessings in there, but of course, you know, I keep saying to everybody, you know, patience, right? This too shall pass, and, you know, patience, and then it'll come, right? It'll come. Take care of each other. Look out for each other.
I agree on all those. I will only note that every time we're patient about this thing, we got to be a little bit more patient. It adds up, the patience that's being required.
Mm-hmm. Let me good training for one of my babies too.
Oh, it's good training. You have no idea. I don't want to spoil the fun for you, but yeah, it is. So look, you know, one of the effects that COVID's had on us all is that we can't travel, right? We're not just locked down, but we're locked in to wherever we live. And I'm wondering, with an eye on travel, can you take us back to your favorite holiday memory?
Yeah. So me and my girlfriend, who is currently the mother of my child, we went to Costa Rica 5 years ago. And
did you say she's currently the mother of your child?
Yes, that is true. That's true.
I think you got to get used to that status, Ben.
Yeah. still adjusting. So anyway, so we went to Costa Rica together on an awesome little trip. And one of the things we went to was La Fortunas, which is this volcano in the middle of the country. And there's a small town around it called La Fortunas because it's a lucky town that didn't get destroyed last time the volcano went off. And
I wonder what it was called before that. It was probably called like In the Deadly Shadow, whatever Spanish is for In the Deadly Shadow. And then they...
So the tour guide sells us on this thing. He says, oh, you guys want to go for a hike in the jungle? You got to go do this 2-volcano hike. He's like, it's pretty long, but, you know, I did it. It can't be that hard. Don't worry about it. It's a long hike, but don't worry. It's fine. I did it. So we're like, okay, cool. So it turns out it's a 10-hour hike, but we think, okay, they're taking us out in a bus. Shouldn't be too bad. No, man, it's a 10-hour mountain climb, like up the side of a volcano in a rainforest.
Oh, no.
So there's like this like constant like mudslide behavior. And like one of my big hobbies is birding. So this is my scene. I'm cool with it. Like knee deep in mud up a mosquito hill. I'm fine with it. But that is not Amy's scene. That's not her favorite place to be. And she doesn't love heights either. And there was one point where we were about 6 hours into this hike, totally exhausted. And like at the top of the volcano, but still hadn't gotten anywhere to where it was cool. Amy at one point had already leaned on a spiky tree. And we're about to get like down to the part where you go inside the volcano where there's this little lake and stuff, and it's supposed to be really nice. And they say, okay, so you just got to slide down this basically mudslide holding this rope.
Oh, God.
To get down, and there's no way to walk down the hill. And she just looks back at me and be like, where have you taken me?
And she's still with you.
Yeah. And anyways, in the end, at the bottom of the volcano, she turned to me. She said, I'm glad we did it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. So,
yeah. And now I think we're a lot stronger for it. And it was a great memory, at least. It's something we will never forget.
And maybe never do again.
Probably not.
I think if there's a lesson for our listeners out there, it's sometimes when someone says, I could do it, you can do it too. You have to really look at who they are and what they can do.
Yeah.
Like if Dwayne Johnson says, I can lift this weight, you can too. That it might not be true just because he says it.
Yeah. Inspirational, but not necessarily true.
That is an outstanding moment from the past. And now I want to do the opposite. I want to look at the future and ask if you've got any plans for the future. And it can be the near future, or it can be the like COVID is behind us and there's a vaccine and we can go wherever we want and God forbid shake hands and hug. What all those things. What do you see in your future?
Well, as I've already mentioned, a few years ago I took up birding as a hobby, and I got totally obsessed, and it's just the best hobby. And it may seem like a nerd sport, but it is also a hardcore, super intense sport. I love it.
Just to be fair, a lot of nerd things are hardcore and super intense in a very nerdy way. Star Trek collectibles is very intense if you're into Star Trek collectibles.
That is absolutely true. So one of the things I'm really looking forward to is there'll be like a 5-year period there where my daughter likes everything I like. So there will be that small period of time where she thinks birding's cool, and I am really looking forward to
it. She might see through the birding. She might be like, hey, Mom, tell me the truth. This birding thing, it's just Dad, right?
Yeah, I can see the mosquitoes being a deal breaker too.
I'm just gonna tell the truth. I've never heard birding as a verb before. I didn't know that was a thing. So
yes, bird watching is the way normal English speakers would say.
But birding is for that's the inside. That's the trekker version of.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Well, success with that. I hope that you can make it stick. I hope you can make the birding stick for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Let me come back to the present then and ask you what, and it's not fair to say your daughter, but back in the here and now, what is the one thing that you're most proud of from yourself or from your life or your accomplishments? What are you super proud of?
I guess I'm really proud of just going after my dreams. Really proud that of all the things I've tried and all the things I've learned and my experiences. I'm really grateful for all the different things I've learned and all the different people I've met. And I'm really proud that I was able to do all of it.
Can I throw in, was there ever a good belly flop? Did you have a good failure from what you learned as well?
Oh, yes.
I want to hear, yes, just tell me in 3 words, one of the biggest failures.
Two closed startups.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, just selling mushrooms in university doesn't count as a startup.
That's right.
Well, I think that's a great thing to be proud of. I've got 1 minute left and one question left, and here is the final question. If there's one thing you could change in your life right now, what would it be? What's the change you'd make in your life? Ben has passed out.
Yeah, sorry. Just kind of froze up. Because I could,
you're rethinking the birding thing, aren't you? You're rethinking the birding.
No, I can feel the answer stirring up in me. But I guess it would be just bestow patience on the people I love, right? And then, you know, give them that comfort to let them know that, hey, we're going to be just fine. This is going to pass. And if we just show a little patience, I know they'll be fine.
Now, I think that's great. But I think what you're really telling us right now is if there's one thing you would change, you would just keep doing what you're doing, which is be patient and encourage people. But is there anything you'd actively change?
I would do a better job with my garden.
Better job with your garden. I got to say, yeah. there's my 20-minute timer. But it's a pretty good life when you can look at it and say, the one thing I should change is do better in my garden. So Ben, I think you're going to succeed in getting everybody in the family on board your birding, because you're clearly doing a lot of things right.
Thanks a lot, Pep. It was a pleasure.
It was great to talk to you. Thank you very much. And I hope to talk to you again, and hopefully it won't be about birds.
Awesome. Catch you then, Pep. Take
okay,
care.
Okay, cool. And everybody listening, thanks for joining us on this TopCast. Join us again for one of our deep dives with your favorite Top Desk teammates. I'm Pep Rosenfeld, and we'll hear each other then.